Now let us turn to the passage that we read in 2 Corinthians 5 and turn our attentions for a little time to words we find in verse 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. This is, of course, to do with the new birth, being born again. And sometimes we yearn for just one definition of what it means to be born again. But of course, it is far more profound and far more heavenly a thing than can be put into one definition. So what we have is, right through Scripture, and especially in the New Testament, we have many different texts, such as this one here, which help us to understand a little more about this wonderful thing, the new birth. It is so profound that even those of us who have experienced it are continually learning more of it. Indeed, it is good if it is the consuming thing in our minds as Christians to just see a little bit deeper into what Christ has made us to be as Christians. The wonder of it all, the wonder of the change, the wonder of the many things that take to do with this new birth, with being born again. It is, in a sense, the vital center of all Christian experience. And I suppose the vital center of all Christian yearnings to learn more of this, because when we learn more of the new birth, we learn more of Christ and more of what he has done for us. But it is good for us to learn as much as we can from all the different parts of Scripture, to build up as much knowledge as we can as to what it means to be born again. Being born again is God's internal work in the person who is saved. It is not external in its essence, but it is internal. And sometimes that experience can be very sudden. But mostly, I think we can say, especially in the days in which we live, that change and that realization, that blessed change of becoming a new creature in Christ, that it is an internal work, takes very often a long time for it to come to fruition in such a way that we then know that something has changed, something radical has changed, our affections have changed, and there is, without any doubt, a newness and a new nature imparted to the Christian. Now, So eventually, no matter how long it takes, person on whom God is working, even although there is an active, always necessarily, an actual instant when it really happens. An instant, one side of which that person is dead in sin, dead in trespasses and sin, and on the other side of that moment, that person is made alive in Christ. There is an instant, although in our experience, it is something which can be quite slow and gradual. But it will not be too long until we realize. And we have to say and confess, well, I am different. My affections are different. My longings are different. Now, there are always external changes when somebody becomes a Christian. When somebody is born again, there are external effects, external signs. And these are just external. And if they are from the new birth, then they will work from inside outwards. But it is a simple fact that it is possible for someone to very effectively follow what they see in other people and to change their ways, to keep the company of Christians and those who talk about these things, and to attend regularly at church and even at prayer meetings, and for these changes to be only external. We must remember that the new birth does not comprise these external changes. That the new birth is something internal. That's something that takes place in the heart. So these inner changes we look at today, and as I said, they are not easily defined, they are not easily described, because it is so much a work of God. The preaching of the gospel, yes, it is tremendously important. And the understanding of the gospel is also very important. But there is this internal work which is not so easily defined. But we look today at some of these inner changes of being born again. First of all, we see here a changed relationship to Christ. Now, this is nothing less than what it says here. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. The relationship is in Christ. What does that mean? Well, it certainly means such a close relationship that that person is actually united to Christ. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. In Christ means necessarily united to Christ. Before being born again, that person is outside of Christ. And after being born again, that person is, as it were, inside Christ. He is in Christ and he is united to Christ. And it means a joining together, a becoming one. And obviously that is a work of God. No man can, or woman can, just by efforts of their own, however clever, however, whatever insights they may have, are unable to bring this about. The wonderful thing is that it takes place very often under the preaching of the gospel, and that in the end there is for that person a change of direction, a change of affections. But the basic thing, first of all, is that that person is in Christ. He has an amazing new changed relationship with Jesus Christ. Now, this joining, the Bible tells us that it is through faith. It says that we are united to Christ by faith. Now, how can it be that this being born again is all of God? And at the same time to say that that union clearly says in the New Testament that we are united to Christ by faith. Now, what does that mean? Well, it means this. That this is not something that is just entirely passive. Now, it's difficult for us to know where faith comes into something which is all of God. But the simple fact is that this is by faith. Now, it is not by profession of faith. Profession of faith is easy, just to say the words and make that profession. But this being born again is not, does not come about by profession of faith. It comes about by faith. Not the profession, but the faith. It is by faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, it is tremendously important that we recognize the difference between profession of faith and the faith which unites us to Christ. Because the latter is nothing more, the performer is nothing more than a profession. But this is a person being enabled by God to put all his trust, all his hope in Christ's finished work on the cross. And that person enabled to believe, to trust in Christ. Now that it is so important that we distinguish between profession of faith and that faith which is real and which is living and which is active, in that it relies and looks towards Christ and leans and puts all their hope on him and his finished work. Now, as I say, there must be inner changes. It is not just outer things that bring this about, but It is inner changes, which of course very quickly result in the outer changes. It is from the inside out. We have to realize that without a complete casting of ourselves upon Christ, without that, just giving over unto Him, without that surrender, without that yielding, then there is no new birth. Two things go together. But having realized the dangers, and dangers there are, serious, eternal dangers, having realized these dangers and realized that they are real, danger of God's condemnation and of an eternity of the wrath of God. They must cast themselves upon Him. But there is just one other thing before we move from this. That this casting upon Him is with a confidence in the reliability of all that God has promised. Now, it is always a good idea if we can pray using the promises of God, believing the promises. But in this matter of salvation, it is absolutely essential that when God says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved, that we believe God. That we believe that His promise is not an empty promise, but that what God promises, He will do. Now, the person who is united to Christ is united to Him irreversibly, and with a new birth, he is irreversibly united to Christ. So that's the first thing. This changed relationship from being out of Christ to being in Christ. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. So that brings us on to the second point, that this person is a new creature. What does that mean? Perhaps it might help us a little bit if it which is the literal translation of this, that this person is a new creation. This is what we mean when we speak of being born again, regeneration. It means that this person is a new creature in Christ. Now, that person is the same person as before. And we must remember that we're all, whatever changes we might experience both now and in eternity, that we will forever be the same person. It will always be you and who you are, and me and who I am. Now that is important, that when it says here that this person is a new creation, it does not mean that this person is a different person altogether. So, what does it mean? It means that there is in that person a new creation, a new inner man, a new heart. As we read in these wonderful verses in Ezekiel chapter 36 and verse 25-26. A new heart and a new spirit I will give you. That's what he says. That's what God promised. I will give you. And a new heart and a new spirit I will give you. And I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh. And I will give you an heart of flesh. And you shall be my people, and I will be your God. Promises of God. Promises of what he will do, he can do, and he will do on the basis of what Christ has done for us. The new birth is essential for salvation. We know the word, he must be born again. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. He cannot see it. Cannot discern it until he actually is born again. Now, some preachers, I fear, seek to make this matter possible for man. I remember sadly being at one time a counsellor in one of the Billy Graham Crusades. Now, although I have much regard for Billy Graham as a person and as the way he has conducted himself and the way it seems that nobody could ever find anything wrong with his character, because the press, of course, would have gone to town on that. But one thing that did affect me very much and puzzled me very much, we were given instructions, we were given papers, we were given leaflets explaining to us what we had to do. And it was like this, that we were duty bound to follow these things. And the thing that troubled me was this: if you do these three things, acknowledge, believe on Christ, and confess, if you do these things, you will be born again. Now, at the time, I was not able myself to just nail the flaw in that down, because I didn't know enough. But I realize now how wrong that is. Nobody can say to anybody else, you do this and you will be born again. Cannot say. And as faithful preachers, we must restrain ourselves. Many, many times we feel almost as if we could just say, oh, do this and you will be all right. We can't do that. All we can do is point men and women, boys and girls, to point them to Christ. That's it. As one preacher used to say, point them to Christ. And then he says, we get out of the way. Because the business must be between that person and Christ. Must not involve, cannot involve a third person. Cannot involve a facilitator. All that we can do is preach the gospel. Point you to Christ. The one thing that we know is that if a person truly believes on Christ, puts all his eternal hopes on Christ, that person will be saved. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. That is the promise of God for the unconverted. And that is their encouragement. It is a terrible thing when evangelism gets to the point where they are removing the miracle from the gospel. And that is what sometimes happens. If we say, do 1, 2, and 3, then you'll be saved. Then we are removing the miracle. This miracle is and must be between the person and God. And no counselor, no facilitator, no evangelist, no preacher, no matter how faithful, can interfere at that point. It is a work of God. And it is a disastrous dilution of the gospel when the miracle is removed. So, this new creation, what is resulted? What is it resulted? Or what is involved in it? If any man is in Christ, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Well, yes, it affects the heart. And it will not be long until that person knows that they are a new creature. But as I said, the moment I honestly have never met anybody in my life who was able to say, I know the instant when I was born again. No, I haven't. And I do believe that that is hidden from us. But it is not long. When that happens, it is not long until we know that we are different. What's different? The old things. The old affections. The old idols. The old things that filled our hearts, took up our time. The old things which we just couldn't leave alone. These old things are passed away. The new creation results in certain mode of experience that it has happened. there will be a warming of heart towards God and to Christ and towards His people. That person may have had nothing but contempt for God's people up to this point. But when this happens, one of the sure things is that that person will have an affection, a new affection for the people of God. As I say and repeat, the moment, instant, is known only to God, but it will not be long until we know that the change has come about, because the heart has been changed. And thirdly, we go on to what we have looked at a little bit already. The big change in our affections and in our interests. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Old opinions, old loyalties, old idols, old desires, yes, even old principles, old interests pass away and they are replaced. It is not as if all these things are taken away. You wonder, well, how empty will life be, empty without these things? No, because new affections, new desires are taken, new desires take the place of these old ones. All things are passed away. Passed away. Not as if it just, we forsake them at the one go. That may happen, it may not. But the idea is of a passing away, like a death of these things. And in their place, new and Bible-based things. Summarized, we might say, in a turning away from a worldly life to a spiritual life. A world-centered life to a God-centered life. And a God-centered everything. Ambitions, affections, interests, company. Yes, it all changes. A completely new pursuit takes over. Yes. There's nobody who is saved who will not find within himself a new pursuit. And that pursuit is to know more of Christ, to pursue Him. As we were saying last week, pursuing Him is pursuing holiness. Pursuing what God wants us to be. Be ye holy, for I, the Lord your God, am holy. Pursuing what God wants. And what God wants is of the new Christian, is to pursue holiness. Separation from the world, separation unto God. A completely new infilling. Something completely new takes the place of the world. And that is Christ and his saints. And the most blessed thing will be to us his sufferings on that cross. At that time, when we are converted, and I'm sure this is the experience of many, as it is my own, be so keenly concerned and have so much feeling about what he suffered on the cross. And our great regret is that we have lost that first love. But we must seek not to do that. If we experience these precious great concerns about the suffering of Christ, and I wonder that he would do such a thing for sinners such as we, or to hold on to it. To hold on to these things. Keep them as the most precious things in your life. There is assurance. Yes. Maybe not immediately, but there will be assurance. The assurance will be very much from the changed affections. How can I be changed? How can I be so different? How can my desires and affections be so different? Only one reason. That is, you are changed. And you have experienced the new birth. The passing joys of this world are replaced with unfading joys. Yes. It's so strange for the person who is unconverted to realize that there can be joys that do not fade. The joys of having Christ, the joys of loving him, the joys of loving his people, and all these things are unfading joys. It is all forward. It is all progress. It is, as we are singing, a sound in the heart. A song or a sound. Greatly blessed the people are, the joyful sound that know. Oh, how precious it is to have that sound, to know it, to have it in our hearts. That Christ is for us, and that he is now appearing in the presence of God for us. And that he is now our friend. That he is there as our friend, ever living to make intercession for us, representing us, taking our pleas and passing them on to the Father. Yes. Unfading joys. Yes. friend in heaven, a friend forever, a friend that we will one day see with our naked eyes. Let us pray. Our gracious God, we pray that thou would forgive us, Lord, for our ineptitude at portraying this amazing work, which is that. But, O Lord, we thank thee for the information that thou hast given us. O Lord, we pray for a striving and a yearning for Christ. Forgive our sins in Jesus' name. Amen.